One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
It's all about the macro productions.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary's Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Momai Gutavi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have
a
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the CS hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior.
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you're watching us on Rumble, Band.video, Vigilante TV, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thank you so much. We appreciate your amazing and continued support. Rate the show if you haven't done so already. You want to connect with me, macroaggressions.io is the best place to do that. Are you looking for a great book for the summer? Consider Hypocrisy, Surviving in a World of Cultural Double Standards, or The Octopus of Global Control. They're both out, not just in paperback, but in audio format as well. The Octopus is almost 24 hours of audiobook. So take a look, check it out. You can get it wherever podcast or wherever audiobooks are available, including Spotify's network as well. We appreciate our sponsors because they help us to do this show. So I got to get sponsors that actually work, that make sense, that you're going to connect with. Legal Shield has been in business for half a century in the United States and Canada. And you'll get a lawyer in their network for a very, very reasonable price. It's $1 a day. It's $30 a month is the basic membership that will get you in the door and get you access to an attorney that will take care of all kinds of legal documents for you. If you don't have a last will and testament or a financial directive or a medical power of attorney or any of those sort of basic documents that you need in case something goes wrong, you've got to get them. And they cost a bit. You know, if you want to, it's over $1,000 if you want to knock it all out with a traditional attorney. But I'll tell you what, if you're a member of Legal Shield, you can do it in the first month. You just get an app on your phone. You tap a couple buttons, tell them what you want. There's a drop down menu will come down. Legal documents, you need those? Tell me which ones you need. Click, click, click. Boom. Submit. You get a call the next day from the attorney in your area saying, I received your submission. I'm ready to help you out. You know, let me tell you what we need. And when are you free? Let's come on in and knock it all out. So you can get a lot accomplished with it. And if you run a small business, there's a small business plan. So there's a lot going on. I suggest you just go to the website that they built specifically for us, www.don'tgetpushedaround.com. The link is down in the show notes as well. It's on the website as well. So whatever you want, just check it out. Take a look. See what you think. Legal Shield, don'tgetpushedaround.com. Also, you know, Tim James and the crew over at Chemical Free Body, they have been with this show since the very beginning. They make outstanding supplements that actually work. If you're looking to get yourself healthy, but you're not sure where to start, listen to Tim James's podcast and see what you think. He's such a good guy. He saved his life by changing his diet, and he can help you too. He is on a mission. He is going to help as many people as possible. If you feel like you're not at your best, look, it's fixable. You just got to get honest about it. So go to chemicalfreebody.com/macro and do some shopping. Check it out. Get that 90-day detox bundle. That is super effective. If someone asks, where would I start? Start with that. It's green 85 in the morning. It's a handful of capsules during the day. It's very easy to do. You're not on a treadmill for hours a day. It's drink a green drink and take some pills. That's really what it is. But I've done it twice. It actually works. You will have massive results from it, but it's up to you. It's like anything. You got to go over there and see for yourself. Go to chemicalfreebody.com/macro and take a look and see what you think. And if you don't have the water hero, listen to my last episode with Tim James where we talked about the benefits of it. It's magic. He's going to change the world with this thing. It's incredible. So chemicalfreebody.com/macro, or just go to chemicalfreebody.com and on your way out, use the promo code macro, whatever. We'll save you some money. We can use it. Well, let's talk about New York City. New York, New York. A city so nice, they named it twice. Just kidding. It's a huge shithole right now. It maybe used to be nice, but it's not anymore. It's an open-air sewer. And as somebody who has been there, half a dozen times, maybe more over the years, starting 30 years ago, I have watched the decline. And I think being a tourist that goes there every couple years makes you unqualified to speak on New York in some respects, but probably more qualified to notice the massive changes, because if you're living there, it's incremental. It happens on a daily basis. You get normalized, and the next thing you know, it's totally fine that some guy is shooting heroin on the sidewalk. It's just kind of always been that way. No, it isn't. It hasn't always been that way. It used to be okay. You know, when I went, the first time I went to New York was 96. And it was getting cleaned up, you know. You go do all the touristy things. You go to Times Square. You go to Peep Land. Remember Peep Land? Holy shit. Some components of New York City never got any better. But it used to be okay. And in fact, it actually, to be honest, got a bit commercialized, if that's even possible for New York City. But you know, Times Square went from being sketchy to being Disney. And it was like, great, I'm not going to get mugged anymore, but it's going to cost me a ton of money just to be in the area, and it all feels very corporate. And so maybe there'd be a common ground if you could meet somewhere in the middle where it's not all Applebee's and ESPN zones, but also you're not, you know, getting robbed as well. Like, I don't know, a middle someplace. But I'll tell you what's not going to happen. It's not going to get any better anytime soon, because this is the end of New York City. Perhaps you heard the news. You don't have to live in New York City. I mean, it's funny because they had a primary, a Democratic primary, and it's a Democratic primary. It might as well just be the election, because New York City is so left-leaning that whoever wins the Democratic primary is going to win the election when it eventually happens. But so there was an election, and there were several people involved in it. And it was an embarrassing performance by the people during the debate. I saw a debate, and it looked like they had five people there. It was like, who can tongue Israel's balls the greatest? You know what I mean? That's what it was, like a contest to see who could fillet Israel harder than the next person. It was gross and disgusting, but right on brand for New York City, of course. And you can't win an election unless you talk about how you're going to save the Jews, or you're going to combat anti-Semitism, and how it's the greatest threat face. I mean, RFK Jr. told us that anti-Semitism is the greatest health threat facing America these days. So, I mean, it must be true. He would never be compromised by his previous behaviors or anything like that. Wink, wink. So in the end, it was basically a two-person race. I guess the others didn't make their case for how they were going to put Israel on a pedestal or something, and so they were eliminated. In the end, it came down between a Muslim socialist named Zohran Mamdani and an Italian Zionist, former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. Boy, who wins in a race between Muslim socialist and Italian Zionist? I don't know. I think everybody loses. That's what I think. I think there's no way to win in a situation like that, because either way, you're going to see, well, you're either going to see a continuation with Andrew Cuomo, and Andrew Cuomo in no universe should be running for additional offices. He should be in handcuffs. Andrew Cuomo should be on death row, actually. He shouldn't be running for the governorship or the mayor of New York City. He should be in handcuffs getting one meal a day through a slot in his door on a countdown until the executioner comes for what he did, for the people that he fucking murdered in New York with his COVID policies. So, you know, heads you lose, tails you lose when it comes to this group of people. And you know what? To the residents of New York City, you get what you deserve. I don't want to hear any complaining when it all goes wrong. And it's going to go wrong. It's going to go stupendously wrong for you. But I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear, I think we've made a mistake. I can't believe he's doing this. This dude has been crystal clear about what he intends to do. Now, whether or not he's able to accomplish it, that's a different story. But let's be clear about what's going on. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about this guy, Zohran Mamdani, right? We're going to go through who he is. We're going to talk about what his policies are. Spoiler alert, they're super retarded. I assure you that. We're going to talk about, we'll go into sort of details about that and why New York City is circling the drain. You know, if you live in New York City, I would be on the phone with my real estate agent right now. Unless you have some sort of living situation where you can't do it, you're divorced, joint custody, and the wife doesn't want to leave, and you want to leave, but you can't leave, and so you're stuck there until the kids. I get that. I understand all those things. Oh, I got this great job. And well, can you do it remotely? No, they need me here. I need to physically be in here. Okay, well, you're going to have to make some calculations, because this isn't like a hurricane that comes out of nowhere that New York City is unprepared for. This guy is telling you what he wants to do, and what he wants to do is reimagine your city in some sort of leftist paradise. That's never going to happen. These people are always detached from reality. They don't have the life skills to try and sell you on communism. I've been around enough, man. I know it's not going to work. Real communism's never been tried. Oh, it gets tried. It just never works. The reason why it doesn't work is because it's a stupid idea. It breaks down. Taking stuff from motivated, smart, hardworking people and giving it to low IQ retards that have no redeeming values is not a solution. But those people will go without. Well, tough shit. Some people have things and some people don't have things. Some people have things because they work hard. Sometimes other people don't have anything because they don't do it. They just don't work. They refuse to. I mean, AOC put it in the Green New Deal bill that she wanted to give money to people who choose not to work. If they choose not to work, that's going to be 75% of the population that's going to choose not to work. And then what? The other 25% that are doing that, you want to take their work and give it to everybody else? Okay, after you do that one time, where is the motivation for that person to ever work hard again? Oh, I could work hard. I could finish this project I'm working on. I could stay up all night and finish this project. I'm on a run. I really want to get it done. I'm inspired to work hard on it. Yeah, as soon as you finish with the project, they then take it away from you and divvy it up to all the idiots on your street. No, thank you. No, that's a recipe for disaster. And that's what this guy is talking about. Look, I'm no fan of New York City. Haven't been for a while. It's been living off its reputation for a long time. Just like London was great back before the Kalergi plan was put into place. It's not great anymore. New York City, the last time I was there, I was filming, walking down the street. I was staying close to Times Square. I went out and was just filming what I was seeing because it was appalling since the last time I had been there. And I locked eyes with a guy who was sitting on the sidewalk, and he had a needle in his arm. He was just about to hit it, and he looked up at me like for a split second. And I felt bad for him. Like, this is it. This is your life. Like, you had an entire world in front of you, and somewhere along the way it went off the rails. And I feel like in cities like that, be it New York or San Francisco or the Hood in Los Angeles or Kensington in Philly, you get around a group of people and this behavior gets normalized. And the next thing you know, it isn't unreasonable to be shooting fentanyl on the sidewalk in front of strangers. That gets normalized. And that's a problem. And if you live in these big cities, it's only going to get worse. And if you live in New York City, boy, you guys are going to be in for a ride. So let's do this. Let's start with who this guy is. Zoran Mamdani. Name just rolls right off the tongue, I tell you. Who is he? That's a good question. He feels a little bit like a New York City Juan Guaido, if I'm being honest. He's sort of installed, kind of came out of nowhere. And you go, oh, he's 33 years old. Dude was born in 1991. Dude, I graduated from high school in 1990, right? Sorry, but the mayor of New York, if you're 33, when I was 33 years old, what was I doing? Living in Vegas, selling real estate right in the middle of the boom, like the hottest time ever. Things were good back then. I was not delusional enough to think, you know what my next move is going to be? I should be the mayor of New York City. I should be the mayor of the biggest city in the country. I know everything. I know enough to be the mayor. I mean, can we all recognize for a second how utterly delusional you have to be at 33 years old to think that of all the people in the country, or even in your city in New York, that you are the most qualified person to run this gigantic machine. The arrogance, the miscalculation. Now, I don't know that, I'm not trying to say Andrew Cuomo is any better at it. I mean, like I said, he should be led away in handcuffs. He does have experience, you know, running the entire state into the ground. I'm sure he could run the city into the ground. I mean, look what he did with the state. And he comes from a family of legendary scumbags who are also involved in politics. And it's like, I'm not trying to say that he's a better choice. I'm just trying to say, I do understand where Andrew Cuomo comes into this, saying, well, I was the governor of New York, so if I can run the state, I could probably run this city. It's delusional thinking as well, of course, but I can understand it. But what has this dude done? This 33-year-old guy, he is going to be the mayor of New York City, by the way. So he's born in Uganda, lived in South Africa, moved to the States when he was 7 years old. Okay. He hates capitalism. You know, he does. And his parents are, his dad worked as a high-ranking teacher in Columbia University, a professor at Columbia University, and his mother was like involved in the arts, director of some sort. They were well established. They were making money. They didn't. This wasn't one of these. He talks about, oh, I connect with my third world roots because I by watching them, you know, but I eat with my hands just like my third world. Bitch, shut up. You do not. You grew up in wealth. You grew up in New York on the Upper West Side with your father's a Columbia professor. Like this idea that you were sitting around in some deep Asian knee squat, eating bugs with your fingers is fucking delusional and preposterous. And frankly, I'm insulted that you would lie and try and sell yourself as some man of the people. You are not. You are, is by all accounts, coming out of a CIA family. If I'm being honest, I mean, moving around Uganda, South Africa, New York City, working in academia, and then all of a sudden this kid at 33 years old, I mean, you're a kid if you're going to be running New York City at 33. Come on. What have you done? Like, it'd be one thing if you're like, I have built four publicly traded companies just in my 20s and spun them all off and massively successful. You go, well, okay. What have you done? Well, would you like to know what his qualifications are? Because they're utterly worthless, I assure you. He has a degree from the far left, I'd say leftist, Bowdoin College that he got in 2014. Now, he grew up in Uganda, and then he moved to America, and now he went to college, or he went to college and graduated in 2014. Do you know what his major was? African studies. This would be like if I went to the University of Uganda and my major was American studies. You'd go, boy, that degree is utterly worthless. This is good for pretty much nothing. So he has a degree in African studies, which maybe qualifies him to work at Starbucks, which is a great start for this. He worked as a housing counselor. Huh? You mean, because I worked in real estate for 25 years. I've never heard of a housing counselor before. You mean a real estate agent? No, you're not a real estate agent, because if you'd have to get licensed. And this guy clearly didn't get licensed anything. They said, well, I looked into what a housing counselor was. Well, what happens is that the people that he works with keep getting, you know, thrown out of their apartments because they're shitty tenants, and he was helping them find other places to live. So that's his qualifications. But don't worry, everybody, because it's not all doom and gloom. He does have one thing on his resume that makes him uniquely qualified to be the mayor of New York City. He was a hip-hop producer. Sort of. Kind of. He produced like a couple of songs, and the songs were used in, did you remember seeing the movie they were in? Oh, wait, you probably didn't see it. It was a documentary made by some woman in Uganda that you guys don't get that album. Oh man, it was so awesome. I remember it was one of my favorites. So his background is questionable. His family's background is questionable. Maybe he's not. Maybe they weren't in the CIA. I don't know. But when I see a lot of movement around like that coming out of Africa, socialist background and everything, I go, oh shit, is this the new Barack Obama? Whose school records are all sealed and nobody has any recollection of him, any of these schools that he went to? Is that the situation that we've got going on here? Well, so he is in politics. He has been in politics since 2020. He was elected to the New York State Assembly during COVID-1984. That would be the year 2020 when everything was wonky. He went in there and beat some guy who had held that position for four terms. It took months to count the votes, which is what you do when you're cheating, of course. And then magically this guy who, I mean, he had to have been 29 at the time, came in and won and became New York State Assembly. And his region is Astoria and Long Island City, which, if I recall correctly, are shitholes. So he's been in charge of two shitholes and wants to add a third to his list. He was reelected without opposition in 2022 and 2024, which is, oh, I don't know, kind of questionable. Why isn't anybody running against him? They're not. So he's like, look, I won it in 2020. I won it in 2022. I won it in 2024. Dude, you were running against a dead person in 2022 and 2020. Literally nobody ran against you. So like, easy on the victory lap, pal. Like, stop. Don't dislocate your shoulder by patting yourself on the back for winning a election against nobody. This is crazy. He was endorsed by AOCIA and by Bernie Sanders, which is not a great endorsement. But I guess if you're a socialist retard, you go after the other two socialist retards that you can get your hands on. And that's two of the most disingenuous people in politics. AOC, who quite literally answered an ad campaign looking for actors to be politicians, which is why she is one. And Bernie Sanders, a embarrassment to the United States, who, if you've ever given money to Bernie Sanders, you should demand it back. He's a fraud of the highest order. He talks about socialism and how it's the savior and how capitalism is so bad. He owns multiple houses. He flies around in private jets and does all this stuff. He's a fucking hypocrite like the rest of them. Just a gigantic hypocrite. And by the way, if you're a socialist, your ideas are stupid. Okay? It's not for me to explain why they're stupid. You have to explain to the rest of us why you think they're not. Okay, we're done with this conversation. The conversation about whether socialism works has been had plenty of times. It doesn't work. If your sales pitch is that you want to install socialism on the rest of the people, I can tell you exactly how that's going to end. Either in starvation or piles of bodies. That's how it ends. Okay. He participated in a hunger strike with taxi workers. Oh, you're a regular Bobby Sands, aren't you? He was described by Trump as, quote, a 100% communist lunatic. That is one of the things I like about Trump. He is not afraid to call people names. And I think it's funny. This guy is 100% a communist lunatic. So from time to time, you have to kind of, you can be mad at Trump, but you gotta say, well, he is right about some things. He's anti-Israel. He's pro-Palestine. He is a member of the Democratic Socialists of America. If you were looking for a bigger group of pathetic losers, could you find one greater than the Democratic Socialists of America? I can almost taste the soy when I just say that term. So this guy feels like a fake person to me. He feels like a puppet. He's inauthentic as anybody you've ever seen on television trying to connect with people. You get that whole sort of like Beto O'Rourke, roll up my sleeves, take my tie off, tell me your problems, fellow people. Let me get right down to the bottom of it. I want to figure out how to solve all your problems. The 33-year-old with the African studies degree and the rap background is here to save New York City, everybody. Finally. Socialism works up until you run out of other people's money, right? That's everybody knows that. Let's talk about his policies. Nothing but giveaways. I know you're surprised, right? There's an easy way to get elected. Promise everyone free stuff. That's it. That's all you have to do. Lie to them and promise them free stuff. If you're a politician in America, you probably are very adept at both of these. He ran on a policy created by his advisors, the Tooth Fairy and the Easter Bunny, and which are both as serious as advisors as his ideas are. Would you like to? Okay, I'll run through them real quick. I'll just list them off. And then what I'm going to do is we'll go back through each one of them individually and break them down. Brace yourself. You're about to hear some of the dumbest shit you've ever heard. Okay. Here's where it starts. Free city buses for everybody. Free public childcare. City-owned grocery stores. 5 of them. Okay. Please contain your laughter. Hang on. Rent control. He wants to create social housing development agency. You know it's going to work well because it's got the word social in it. He wants more affordable housing, which is about as vague as you can get, although he gets into the specifics of how much money he needs for the, quote, more affordable housing. Spoiler alert, it ain't affordable. He wants to reimagine the police into a community-based service instead, okay? He wants $30 minimum wage for everyone in New York City. And lastly, he wants free baby baskets for all New York City parents, right? So it's about to get your problems are about to be solved, everybody. Your prayers have been answered. The dumbest man in New York City is here to help. Let's discuss how low IQ voters, which is almost all of them, they fall for giveaways over and over and over again. That's why the strategy for winning elections is bash your opponent, tell everybody that you're going to give them free stuff, and just lie your ass off. You'll never be held accountable. Nobody's going to remember the promises that you made. They'll throw it back in your face at some point. Some reporter will throw it back in your face. But all you have to do is say mistakes were made. You know, that was then, this is now. We're charting a course forward. We're not living in the past when we went like 6 months ago when I said that you were going to get all these things. Things have changed. So you can just, you can lie and tell the voters whatever you want. And you don't have to feel bad as a politician for lying to voters, because you're lying to stupid people, and who cares what they think? I mean, if you're getting revved up to go vote for somebody, you clearly haven't figured out the scam. So why would you even worry about lying to these people? You know, that's the way they see it. They don't see you as a human being, that it would be disrespectful to say one thing and do another thing. They just see you as dumb voters, people who wait every 4 years or 2 years or whenever these voting cycles hit, and going in there and thinking that your voice is going to be heard. Nobody is listening to your voice. Nobody cares what you think. They don't. They don't care what any of us think. It's not specific to you. They don't care what I think either. So, but the sooner you recognize that, better off you'll be. Let's talk about his policies and go into them one by one. Free city buses. Well, considering in New York City, it is nearly impossible to have a car with a parking spot, public transportation is necessary. It is everywhere. Things are walkable in New York, depending on where you need to go, but everyone kind of walks around, and you've got subways underneath. You've got bikes. You can ride your bike, though it will get stolen as soon as you get to your final destination, because we're reimagining crime, and that's not necessarily your bike. It could be somebody else's bike. They just haven't gotten it yet, right? So how dare you with your capitalism mindset? Subways are dangerous, subterranean crime vectors. And if you go down there at your own peril, if somebody isn't having a manic episode, they're taking a dump in the corner of the E train. So, you know, you go into this, it's like Pirates of the Caribbean. You just go, as soon as you go down those steps into the subway, you are in an adventure. And you better be armed or something. Cabs and Ubers, very expensive. Frankly, sometimes you get in a cab in New York City and about 10 minutes into it, you realize I should have just been walking the whole time. I would have gotten further. So let's talk about sort of the math and the economics behind this. Bus rides cost $2.90 per ride, which is hilarious to me because I think about the ferry that went across from Hong Kong to Kowloon, and how we could get on that for one Hong Kong dollar, which was like 12 cents, you know? So I go, 12 cents to get on the ferry, or $2.90 to get on a bus with a bunch of people who are melting down, unconscious in the back, you know. Saw a dude one time who was sleeping on the bus, had his head on the bus when it got up. It was his stop, got up, you know, to get off the bus. And as soon as he got, there was a huge streak of like activator, Jerry Curl, whatever it was, all over the window. It was like dripping down. I was like, holy shit, get me off of this bus. You know, these are not my people. So you can get on the bus for $2.90, right, for a ride, or you can get a 7-day unlimited bus pass for $17. I know, because I looked it up. I went and looked up what their pricing is. So essentially $68 a month in disgusting free bus rides. Guess how much this program is going to cost New York City for anybody who wants to get on the bus? $1 billion. $1 billion. That's $3 million every day. for free buses. Let's move on. I can maybe understand this. Maybe. You would have the $1 billion. See, here's the irony, is that if you actually crack down on people jumping the turnstiles to get on the subway and you made it like they do in other countries so that you can't do that, you would easily have the $1 billion that you could spend to cover this. But of course, they won't do that. That's logic and reason and practicality, and it has no business in a socialist paradise like this. Let's talk about his idea for free public childcare. Every kid, what could go wrong, right? Let's free government healthcare, free government babysitters for your kids, ages for every kid, 6 weeks old to 5 years old. They estimate that this genius idea of government babysitters for your newborn child is going to cost $5 billion. $5 billion for this program. Which means it's going to cost $10 billion. Yeah, let's be honest. If they say that this dumb idea is going to cost $5 billion, then you know it's going to cost a lot more than that. They never explain how they are going to accomplish this. But they swear that it's super easy to do and that all they need is $5 billion and they're going to make it. I mean, what about, we've done episodes on the schooling in New York City. Remember that? When they couldn't find anybody to take the jobs to be teachers there because they're like, we need you to speak multiple languages. They're like, how many languages are being spoke at this school? Over 20. So if you don't speak some obscure African dialect, then good luck connecting with these people. So, free public childcare for every kid in New York City from 6 weeks old to 5 years old is only going to cost $5 billion or some sort of multiple of that. They don't explain how they're going to do it. They don't talk about, who's going to be providing the childcare. They just magically wave their wand and it's in with socialism, all the problems just get fixed because they want them to be fixed and because it's magical thinking time. So let's move on to city-owned grocery stores. Brace yourself. I mean, just brace yourself for this one. This is why are socialists so stupid? Well, I'm about to answer my own question. Let's talk about this. Just like Chicago, leftists never can wrap their heads around how grocery stores actually operate. They just can't do it. Brandon Johnson talked about this. The Lori Lightfoot successor, who talked about how, well, we've got ourselves a food desert, is what they, that's what they call it, a food desert. Food desert. Food deserts exist because the stores packed up and left after getting robbed too many times. That's why there's food deserts. They talk about how the mayor is going to come in. Mayor Mamdani is like, I'm going to come in and we're going to solve the problem of there not being grocery stores in the poor parts of town by creating city-owned grocery stores. And we're going to put these city-owned grocery stores in there to, you know, undercut the other grocery stores. And we're really good at running stores because even though grocery stores run on like a 1% profit margin, we're just going to dip our toes and figure it all out. Yeah. Yeah, ask Ron Burkle from Yucaipa Companies how hard it is to make money owning grocery stores, unless you're in private equity or mergers and acquisitions like he is. But if you run a if you run a grocery store, you are lucky if you're making 2% profit margins. The money's in volume. You've got to do a ton of volume. So I have to ask the question, if you feel the need to put a city-run grocery store in an area of town that you claim has a food desert because the other grocery stores moved out, the question is, why did the other grocery stores move out? And the answer is because they couldn't make any money. Why couldn't they make any money? Well, the people who live in the area that would shop at that grocery store would steal all the stuff. So they made a calculation that they were tired of losing money, so they packed up and left. We're trying to create a food desert here. It's that the people who live in this area are savages who can't be trusted inside a grocery store, lest they steal everything that they see. And the city won't do anything about it. They got the same sort of policies as San Francisco. Just reimagining crime. I caught this guy trying to steal $700 worth of steaks out of my grocery store. Oh, let him go. He's had a rough day. Well, this fairy dust that you think you're sprinkling on grocery stores, it ain't going to work. As soon as these government stores go in there, what do you think is going to happen to them? Do you not think that they're going to get robbed too? They didn't care about the other stores. They're certainly not going to give a shit about government stores. So it's just a dumb idea. You're going to get low quality food. You're going to get government cheese. There's literally going to be a government cheese aisle, which is perfect. It was perfect. Low quality food, Soviet bread lines incoming for New York City. Good luck for it. As somebody who lived in the hood during college and had to go, well, I didn't go for too long. After my freshman year, that was the last time I ever set foot in the 3-2 market in South Central Los Angeles. Because after witnessing a lady changing her baby's diapers on the floor in the produce section one time, I decided, you know what? I never need to come back here again. This place is sketchy. I'd rather go to Koreatown. Remember the rooftop Koreans that got up on the tops of their buildings and protected all of it? That's where I went to shop. I went to shop in Koreatown. Their places are well kept. There's no fuckery going on. You might go down an aisle and see some food that you've never seen before and put you in therapy for a while. But, you know, I mean, if you've seen kimchi in a jar, it's not the best. But, you know, you get over that as long as you know you're not going to get robbed and that the cans are going to be high quality. They're not going to be dented cans, or some lady's not going to be in the produce section, you know, going to town on a baby. So, but all that stuff, I saw all that stuff in the hood. And you think city-owned grocery stores are going to work? I hope they do it. I hope they do it. It just, these people need to be made examples of. They need to see their bad ideas fail in real time and in real life. And you need to document it and show it to them, because this is going to happen again. Somebody's going to become the mayor of Portland and they're going to go, all these unhoused people, what they really need is they need access to a grocery store. And city's going to build a grocery store, and they'll get looted and robbed, and somebody will burn the place down one day and nobody will. And they'll go, oh, we can't believe this didn't work. It's frustrating. Again, it's not surprising. You see that a guy who hasn't accomplished anything, this new mayor, he's done nothing. 33 years old, you have nothing to show for yourself. You've got a degree in African studies, which is utterly worthless, let's be fair. You were a housing counselor and kind of a hip hop producer. Dude, I mean, can we just bring in somebody who's got a successful TikTok channel instead? Because if you're going to be a African studies housing counselor, hip hop producer, can you at least be a good one who has like a big audience? I mean, if you had a big audience, you're like, I'm the best housing counselor you've ever seen. Okay, fine. Let's talk about that. But this feels completely artificial to me. Like this guy, I have questions about who this guy is. Anyway, we'll move on. Let's talk about rent control. Freeze the rents was a slogan during his campaign. So more price fixing? Is that what we're talking about? Oh, you know, it always works so well in those communist shithole countries when they impose price controls. It's just great. But this time it's to crush landlords. Landlords love that, you know, when you arbitrarily set limits to what they can charge, and so that you put your thumb on the scale of economics and make it so that, well, yes, I know that the going rate in New York City is considerably higher, but we're going to make sure that you know, listen, these people over here, they They came here from the Democratic Republic of Congo, and they need to be living here. And you can't charge $5,000 a month for this place. You're going to have to cap it. We're going to cap you at $2,700. And you go, well, I can't pay the bills on this place at $2,700. The math ain't mathing. And they say, well, we have price control, so I don't give a shit. Sell your building then. Get out of the business. So it's going to cause owners to remove their units from the rental pool because frozen rents won't justify the risk of renting it at any price. It doesn't make sense to do this. This isn't capitalism. It's crapitalism. This isn't even socialism. It's some weird version where some industries are overregulated like this, and yet other industries, you can do whatever the fuck you want, and there's no regulations at all. You can shoot fentanyl on the sidewalks, and nobody will do anything to you. But God forbid you try to charge a market rate for your apartment complex, and it's a huge problem for some reason. So it's certainly going to cause poorer living conditions. That's a fact. And they tried this. By the way, they tried this in the 1970s in New York. Building revenues didn't cover the apartment operating expenses, and then the governments the city governments don't get any taxes from it, and then they go bankrupt. And this is all government. This is the reason why I'm the MC of the anarchist conferences, because you come to a problem, you examine the problem, you find that, to nobody's surprise, the government is involved and it creates the problem. And then the government goes around trying to stomp anybody who solves the problem. We could solve many of these problems immediately. You just have to be honest about the situation. And you have to stop bending over backwards for people who don't support you. The homeless community doesn't vote. I mean, even just as a political calculation, will never understand this, because I know they're not compassionate people saying we got to take care of the homeless because it's the right thing to do. I could get on board if they said we have to take care of the homeless because it's the right thing to do. I'd have questions, but whatever. But they're running on a platform of overcompensating for homeless people. My question is, are the homeless voting? Do they vote? I mean, I know you guys make up ballots and vote for them and shit like that, but you could do that regardless. You don't have to give them anything if you're going to steal their vote and vote for yourself anyway. Why is there this desire to overly support the segment of society who doesn't or can't vote? Why would your policy be, let's bend over backwards for illegal immigrants? It's like, oh, you're going to capture the illegal immigrant vote? Is that what you're going for? No, they can't vote. All right, so why the fuck are you doing it? Are you a good person? These aren't good people. It's not some good person came and said, I just want to help people. Is that so bad? No, that'd be great if you just wanted to help people. I just don't buy it. When the socialist guy who's done nothing in his entire life all of a sudden magically comes to power and starts talking about how he's going to sprinkle billions and billions of dollars around the city to reimagine life in New York. I have questions. Let's continue on the rent control thing. But to his next segment, which was more affordable housing. We need more affordable housing, don't you know? No, you know what makes housing unaffordable? The Federal Reserve. You see, I don't mean to turn this into an economics lesson, but the more units of currency in existence, the more units of currency have to chase these assets. So if you have a house that used to cost $100,000, but now it costs $800,000, it's not so much that the house has become 8 times more valuable, though it has. It's that the value of your currency has gotten 8 times less valuable. So you have to have 8 times more of it just to buy the same house that you could have bought 30 years ago. So the idea of more affordable housing coming from socialists is just appalling to me. Just please shut the fuck up. I do not want to take economics lessons from socialists. You guys are unqualified to talk on the subject. I'm sorry. You just are. It's Manhattan It's built out. Where the fuck do you want to go? You want to do like build the Hong Kong airport on like reclaimed land from the ocean? Are we going to start building out islands off of Manhattan? Where do you intend to put this affordable housing? It's Manhattan. Have you been there? It's an island. There's a limited space. And the buildings, they go all the way up. You know why? Because there's limited space. They go up. Now, all of a sudden, you think you're going to come in and just wave a magic wand and build affordable housing? Where are you going to put tents in Central Park? What is the plan here? Oh, these people. So how much of your money does the socialist want to spend to house people that you don't know and don't care anything about? Oh, just $70 billion. $70 billion. Dollars, 70 in public subsidized housing for the poor people who should be living anywhere else but in the most expensive city in the country. Can I ask the question? You decided that you're homeless. Why do you have to be homeless in New York City? London is more expensive. Why not be homeless there then while you're at it? There's all of this land. There's all of these places you can go and be homeless for free. You chose the most expensive city in the country and act surprised when you're like, I can't afford housing here. Well, no shit. Most people can't. You have to have a six-figure job just to get a decent rent. Do you know what the average rent is in New York City? The average rent, let's do it for a one-bedroom apartment. I'm not talking about a house. I'm not talking about a four-bedroom apartment. I'm not even talking about a two-bedroom apartment. I am talking about a traditional, standard, one-bedroom apartment in New York City. Would you like to take a guess what the average rent is for that? $5,242 per month. Up 5% from last year. And 144% more than the national average. So for all of the homeless problem, there's so many homeless in New York City. My feeling on that is get rid of them. Put them on a bus and move them somewhere else. Why do you have to be there? Of all the places to be, you can be homeless anywhere. You had to pick New York City to be homeless? I don't know. My patience, my compassion, my empathy is running out. It just is. We've watched the homeless industrial complex in Los Angeles take billions of dollars and squander it. It's a massive grift. They're not actually out there helping people. If you were helping people, you know what you'd say? Hey, listen, man, I see that you're down on your luck and you're homeless and you're begging for money. Why not beg for money in a place where you can go inside and get a sandwich for $3 as opposed to a sandwich for $17.95? Why don't you be in a city where things are more... Charleston, South Carolina. I don't know. I've never been there. My guess is that the sandwiches aren't $17 there. They're a little bit less. Well, maybe they are now. Who knows? Let's talk about his idea for community-based policing. Just leave it up to the lefties to come up with the dumbest ideas, all predicated on magical thinking and best-case scenarios. You know, these calculations are just like, what if instead of handcuffs, the police gave you a hug instead? You know, you're like, that'd be great. That'll work. He initially called for defunding the police, but ask Sanford Shithole how that's working out. And eventually, or in Portland too, you know, the trash fires are so beautiful this time of year in San Francisco. Wouldn't you agree? So he eventually got away from the defunding the police because it's look, I despise cops. I think cops are the worst people around. And there's no such thing as a good cop. If you're a so-called good cop, you're enforcing bad laws or you're protecting other bad cops. So by default, you're a bad cop too. So I have no love for the police at all. Defunding the police, you could try it. But you can't act surprised when the outcome does not match your expectations. Because there are some people on this planet who don't need the police to tell them how to behave. They're just going to do the right thing because they do the right thing. That's how they operate. And there's other people who are going to do whatever they want to do, regardless of how many police are standing right in front of them. They just can't make that calculation. They don't have the mental capacity to extrapolate out what would happen if they behave this way, you know, 20 minutes from now. They can't see that. So you can put as many police there as you want. Some people don't need them. Some people, there's never going to be enough police to control them. So you can play this game if you want. He wants to establish a new branch of New York City government, thank God, called the Department of Community Safety. Guys, it's the Department of Community Safety, which would enlist civilian social services to handle mental health calls. What could possibly go wrong? Right. So here's his idea. Stay with me. It's a dumb idea. You could stay with me. I'll guide you through it. You know, the police who deal on a day-to-day basis with people that are lying to them and stealing from stores and using drugs and being, nasty to them or anything, having mental health issues. The police, they deal with these people on a daily basis. These people, many of them are extremely violent. Some of them are mentally unwell. Some of them are on drugs. Some of them are armed. Some of them have been in prison or have, you know, are frankly headed back to prison. Some of them are illegals and nobody knows who they are. Some of them are, you know, unhinged. So what we're going to do is he wants to have the police say, you know how we're the most qualified to handle these calls? When you get to, there's a guy in the street with a knife, he's acting crazy. He's talking about how he wants to, you know, he's got to get all the cheese from the moon, and he's talking to his shoe, and you go, holy shit, this sounds crazy. Let's get the police. They go, no. Let's have the civilian social services lady go over and talk to this gentleman while he's in the middle of a mental breakdown. Let's have her go and reason with him and settle him down as he guts her with his knife. That's what will happen, right? This is, I almost want to see this play out. I almost kind of want all of these policies to get enacted and for New York to just come apart at the seams. And so that people will finally get it through their heads that these policies are dumb and that they're never going to work. He wants to give crisis management systems 275% more money, which is generous of him. Do you know how much it costs to house? I mean, that's a question you're never going to get, but Rikers Island, have you heard of it? It's a big jail system, right outside of Manhattan. And they have a variety of different facilities there. They have one that's a psychiatric facility. It costs to house one inmate in the psychiatric facility for 1 year for one inmate. It costs $500,000, $500,000 per crazy person in this facility. Why are you spending that? First of all, how are you spending that much money? And second of all, why are you spending that much money? You can't make a calculation. I mean, maybe I'm just not as nice as the rest of these people. I would take one look at this on a spreadsheet and go, nope, we're not doing that anymore. Well, don't you want to house these people? Oh, sure. We need to house the crazy people somewhere, but not for $500,000 a year per person. Are you like... Surely you can't come up with a better system than that, right? So what this is, the program would station, quote, mental health specialist teams across the city at 100 different subway stations. I'm assuming they mean mass transit subways, not sandwich shops, but I could be wrong. $1 billion for the program. Just just taking it out in the parking lot, piling it up, pouring 5 gallons of gasoline on it, lighting it on fire. That's what you're getting. You're going to station mental health specialist teams at subways, and this is going to solve the problem. What are the chances that somebody from the mental health specialist team gets thrown on the tracks in the first week? I'm going to say, if we could bet on this, let me inject something in here. If DraftKings could come up with a way to bet on this shit, that might be a different story, because I would most definitely take a 2-team parlay of somebody getting pushed into the tracks in the first week, along with, these mental health specialists having to clean up just random piles of shit from the people that are unhoused and dumping in the subway stations, which, by the way, happens every single day. It's just a law. It's Mad Max down there. You know, it's funny. You go in the subterranean realm in Tokyo and it's spotless and the people are nice and, you know, and everyone's getting in and on their trains and there's stores down there. And it's like a whole nother world, you know, underground there. And it's amazing. It is not that way in New York. Oh, it's a new world underground, but it's like, you know, you're just like a little bit closer to hell down there. So he claims, this is he, the Muslim socialist future mayor of New York City, claims that pulling cops out of the subway will save money and overtime because he's not going to be wasting their time on mental health cases, which there were 175,000 calls last year for mental health incidents. And what he said is that, you know, it would be best if we didn't have the cops dealing with the super dangerous, mentally ill guy swinging a sword in the middle of the street. We will save money by not having the people who are qualified to deal with him. We'll put them somewhere else. They can go write tickets for people jaywalking. Instead, what we'll do is we'll have a bunch of wine moms who are part of the civilian social services, and we'll inject them into the situation, and then they can get stabbed instead. See? Problem solved. But cops are used to dealing with crazy, violent people all day long. Making them the most qualified and deserving people for this task. But of course, a socialist has to come in and say, we're reimagining that. Yeah, let's take the most qualified people and put them as far away as possible. Let's bring in a bunch of civilians who have no idea what they're signing up for. And let's station them at subways all across the city so that they can help people who are having a breakdown. God, it's just... you know, the way I see it is this. I want the cops wasting their time dealing with the lunatics. As far as I'm concerned, that's a 2-for-1. I get the cops doing anything other than messing with us, right? We get them focused on an unfixable situation with the guy melting down, right? And then you get the guy melting down to have to deal with the cops every time. It's perfect. The more time the cops are spending working on these types of situations, the less time they're out there writing you tickets for bullshit and being revenue generators. So, and frankly, I want the cops to go home and cry themselves to sleep every night. It was another day. I went down into the subway and the guy was freaking out and it took 10 of us to get him under control. And he was smearing feces all over me. Oh, good. I hope you get that every night. If you sign up to work for the Empire and you become a cop and you put on your costume every day and you go around trying to tell everybody what to do, I hope you have to deal with this. I fucking hope so. I hope that's all you do all day long is deal with unhinged, mentally ill people in New York City on the subways. That would be great for me. 1,700 lunatics used force on NYPD cops just in 2023. Okay. So what do you think is going to happen to the civilian social services when the schizo guy pulls a knife out? I guess the answer is we'll find out, won't we? The $30 minimum wage. Boy, I mean, have they learned nothing from California? it's not like this is some experiment that happened a generation ago or it happened on the moon or something. New York and California, there's a well-worn path between the two. You can easily get there on a jet plane. You know, you can just get a ticket and go. Nobody from New York went to California to see if any of these ideas were going to work because the $20 minimum wage for fast food workers has certainly done something. You know what it's done? It's closed hundreds of fast food restaurants. Exactly what I said would happen. Not that I'm some super genius or anything. I just can count. Just understand math, a little bit of economics. Not surprised at all that the fast food minimum wage of $20 was unsuccessful. You're going to get replaced by robots. We know that. If you're working in New York City and the minimum wage is $30, let me ask you something. What do you think is going to happen to the stores there? Nobody's going to be, everything is going to go up in price because everybody there has to raise their price. By the way, do you know what the current minimum wage is in New York City? It's $16.50 an hour. So you're talking about almost doubling it. And businesses cannot manage the costs of labor doubling in 1 year. It's economic suicide. But of course, he's a communist. His degree is in economic suicide. Or was it African studies? I forget. But there's going to be a doom loop incoming. Look at San Francisco. Look what happened there. By the way, in Los Angeles, they have also issued a minimum wage. I think it's $36 an hour, if I'm not mistaken, inside the hospitality industries that are associated with the Olympics. So they're doing that as well. A bunch of the hotels that had sort of earmarked themselves as being vendors for the Olympics, after they did that, they just went, we're out. Sorry, take us off the list. We're no longer interested in this. So when the state gets involved in setting minimum wages, it never ends well. By the way, the minimum wage should be $0, just so you know. Let's wrap up with this. Finally, there was one other bonus issue that I saved for last. I'm not even going to go into a lot of detail about it. I'm just going to tell you what it is and let you go on your way. New York City wants to spend $65 million to provide gender transition surgeries for all New York City residents, including minors. Sex change for kids in New York City. Move out while you still can. Hey, if you like this episode, you can take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family. Bookmark activistpost.com, naturalblaze.com. If you want to connect with me, macroaggressions.io is the website. Thanks, everybody. I'll talk to you again soon.
Is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.com. SI.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hi there. My name's Andy.
And my name's Anna.
And we are two of the four hosts of the podcast No Such Thing as a Fish. We present every week the most amazing, wonderful, insane, hilarious, bizarre facts you've ever heard.
Facts like, did you know America has a national grocery bag packing competition?
Did you know, Anna, the company Volkswagen sells more sausages than it does cars?
Yes, we've got those two facts and about a billion more in our podcast archives for you to listen to. We chat about them, we laugh about them, we make the occasional terrible pun.
It's great fun. It's called No Such Thing as a Fish. Why don't you listen now?
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.